celebrated the Festival of All Saints yesterday. Today, in the afterglow of that, we hear these two verses from Revelation 7, which follow on the epistle lesson for yesterday. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It may be one of the strangest questions I was ever asked. Do you think there will be marijuana in heaven? And it was an honest question. At first I thought he was joking. It was one of my soccer teammates when I was here at Bethany. "Do you think there will be marijuana in heaven?" And I started to laugh a little bit, and then I realized he was serious. He wanted to know. He had waited till everybody left the locker room to ask me that question. A pot smoker longs for a different reality, because the one that he is experiencing now in this life is not good enough. There is trouble in this life, and sadness in this life, and things that make us not feel so good in this life. So, burning some leaves and sucking those fumes into your lungs alters your brain so that you don't have to quite feel the reality of this fallen world. You don't have to deal with the sadness of this fallen world. Really, that's what it comes down to. In all of us, even in the pot smoker, there is an urge to have a different world. There is an urge to feel and experience a different reality than the one I'm in right now. There is an urge in us for things to be better and to feel better. And there's even an urge inside of us for us to be better. There's a built-in striving inside of each person, not only to experience life better, but to hopefully have yourself become better. And in front of humanity, there is this mysterious idealism about our world and about our lives that is out in front of us. But it's like an illusionary oasis in the desert that we never quite reach in this fallen world. We never really achieve it. We never actually arrive there. Something is always holding us back. Even when we have some good days, maybe 2-3 days in a row where we think, "Yeah, this is pretty nice. Life is pretty good." We always face setbacks. There's always something to bring us down. There's always a letdown. And even the pot smoker has to come back to the reality of how much this life is not perfect. We have been expelled from the Garden of Eden. Angels with flaming swords guard the re-entrance to that garden. We cannot go back. We now live in a non-Eden world. As believers in Christ, when we hear the text before us in this reading about this perfect assembly of God's saints around his throne in heaven, our hearts are drawn toward wanting to be in that place, toward wanting to live in and experience this perfect Eden-type world. But to belong in that group requires perfection, the very perfection that each of us realizes we are so lacking in ourselves. The very holiness that we lack is what we see in this group in front of God. And we realize that we are residents of non-Eden, and we don't belong in a place that's that perfect. We say, along with the prophet Isaiah, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And because of that, when we look at a group like this in our text and consider what they must be like and what it must be like to be there, we can be filled with uncertainty about whether or not we will ever get to stand in that throng of people. Can I be sure that someday I will get to be in that kind of a place, in that kind of a spot? Well, the text before us provides great hope for sinners like me and like you, that we will someday get to stand before that throng. Because the process of becoming qualified to be in that group is not something that has to be worked out in you. The qualifying process is in God's hands, and it's an already accomplished fact. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is where Paul says this to the Colossians. Just listen to this beautiful verse. He's speaking to Christians who struggle with their sins just like you do, like I do. God the Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Just hear that verse again. God the Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in his kingdom of light. The cleansing of the garments that you need to wear to stand in front of God on that day has already taken place. The Greek word here in our text that talks about being clothed in these garments means to be completely wrapped in something, completely having them surround you. Like when a mom takes a baby out of the bath and wraps him in a brand new white towel. The problem that we have, though, in this non-Eden world that we live in, and knowing what our own sinful flesh is still like, is we don't feel those garments. We don't see what it's like to be part of this throng. We continue to live in a world that's full of tribulation and difficulty and sin, and a lot of it's right inside of us. And so being a part of this throng that's described in our text is hidden to us. We don't get to see it. We don't get to feel it the way we would like. But as a child of God through faith in Christ, this is how God sees us. In 1988 and 89, there was a revolution in the country of Romania. And because of that, suddenly orphanages were opened up to TV cameras, and many crews from America went over and videotaped the horrible, deplorable conditions of these poor children living in these orphanages in just squalor. And it caused the hearts of many American people to go over there and adopt these children. And imagine for a moment a little orphan girl who is out in that orphanage playground, filthy, dirty, standing with her friends, small and insignificant, getting pushed around and picked on. Her clothing is torn. She's got grime and dirt on her face. But looking at her through the chain link fence are her new parents who've already taken care of the process of adopting her. And she just doesn't know it or see it or feel it as yet. But her new mom and dad look at her through that fence in an entirely different light. And they're already talking about having her come and open Christmas presents in the months ahead. When God looks at you and me in the squalor of this world, he sees his children that he has adopted through the blood of his son, who he has already made his own through their hearts, through faith in Christ, to trust in him as their Savior. And he's looking forward to the day when we will finally get to come to the mansion that he has prepared for us, even though right now we don't see it or feel it. We just sang the beautiful words of that hymn. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Amen. Please rise. Today we have a prayer request on behalf of one of our students, Heidi Kunz, who is a resident of Hastings, and she is praying, ask for a prayer for her community. Recently, there have been 5 teenagers who have died tragically in various events. We'd also today like to keep in our prayers the victims of the recent hurricane. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of those who are now suffering and mourning in each of these communities. Bless those who now provide assistance and healing through the various agencies of relief that are at work. May these tragic events help us to long for a better country, a heavenly one, which you have purchased and won for us through the death of your Son. Teach us to number our days in this short life that we may gain a heart of wisdom through the wonderful gospel of salvation found alone in your holy word, and by faith that we may someday stand among your saints. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.